Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Before we jump in, just wanted to say this. Thank you for everyone who has served, for those in attendance and online. Can we just celebrate Memorial Day, all of the people serving, all the people who have sacrificed for us? Thank you. We are so appreciative of you and glad that you are here. With that, we've been in a series called Forged, going through 1 Peter, and it's been a very challenging series. If you have missed it, or if you have, this is your first time here watching it, go back online and watch them. It's been a super challenging conversation, as we're talking about being forged in the fire, that we're being changed into the image of Christ, that he's refining us as we become shaped into the image of Jesus, that we are saved and declared righteous because of Jesus and what he has done, but we are called to follow him as we become more like him. I always love a verse before I jump in that really has to do with us being invited into going, man, God, do a work in us. We talked about, and as we sang just a second ago, that we won't be leaving the same, and that is our hope. That every time we come before God's word, every time we come before him, that God would use his word, that he would work in us. It says that the word transforms us, renews our minds. And so with that, turn to Hebrews, if you would, or you can listen to it on the screen. It's Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. It says this. It says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Who needs grace, right, in here? We need grace. And here's the amazing thing. Because of Jesus, we don't have to come with our heads hanged low as we come into this place or into his presence. And we get to come boldly into the room because he is our generous Savior, and we can find grace when we need it most. You know, changing into the image of Christ is not easy, right? We have brokenness inside us, even as believers. We have things that we're working on, things that are challenging, or things that we're even stuck in. But because of Jesus, our salvation is secure in him for all who believe and walk in repentance. And sometimes as we follow him, there's things that are challenging. And so for us, if you feel like you're barely crawling in here, that's been that kind of week, I'm so glad you're here, because you are here to find grace when you need it most. For those of you who had an amazing week or doing well with Jesus, I'm so glad you're here, because we get to come to this place to go, God, please do a work in us, even if it's difficult, like we sang about, refining us in the fire, the challenges, because it's been a challenging season. It's been a challenging season, but we have hope in Jesus, amen? And so with that, we're gonna go through a recap, a little bit of where we've been. First week, we talked about real faith or counter faith. That in 1 Peter, which is where we're kind of almost going section by section through 1 Peter. And we talked about how faith is very important, that it keeps us secure, that our faith grows and it's challenged and it's tested. And he did an amazing job. He's a lot cooler than I am. He actually brought up a samurai sword. How do I compete with that? I don't have no samurai sword. And he brought up an axe, and he talked about how he had these two weapons and they were both forged. But one was super cheap and not done well, and it wasn't really sharp at all. And it really had no ability to cut anything. But then he had this samurai sword or whatever it was. It was awesome. I was distracted by its awesomeness, right? But how he had it for a really long time, but because it was forged and refined in the fire, that it was like it was brand new, even though he's had it for years and years and years. For us, as we're talking about 1 Peter and in our faith, we're being forged, we're being made into the image of Christ. And it talked about how as gold and silver are purified, that you can start to see more and more of your reflection as it gets purified, and how for us, as we're being changed in Jesus, more and more we become like him and we become his image bearers. It was pretty awesome. Week two, we talked about holiness, that we're called to be holy just as he is holy, not perfect, thankfully. You know, as a kid growing up in services and stuff, I used to really struggle with that verse because I always have really been able to see my failures really easily. And so when it says, be holy as I am holy, I would go, well, I'm not holy. But the amazing thing is that doesn't mean perfection, but we are called to live in holiness. And this is what I believe. When we experience God's good holiness, his grace and his mercy and his truth, then we naturally want to be like those things. We want our kids to see that flowing out of us, right? We want our kids to know that we're becoming more like him because he is good. We become like him because he's good, not because we have fear. If we don't, then we're far from him. We're secure in Jesus. This week, I get to talk about submission. Yes. Did any of you wake up today going, man, I can't wait to just submit, right? I can't wait to submit to everyone, everything. Submission's my favorite word. No, not really, right? Submission's a hard word. And we're going to talk about submission. And it'll be a fun conversation. But like a lot of words in our culture, the word submission has been tainted quite a bit. It's almost one of those words where you hear it and you're like, ugh, but actually when you look at submission biblically, it's actually a beautiful, beautiful thing. So if you're following us with us in our notes or you're online following us, we're gonna talk about submission before we jump into 1 Peter and go verse by verse. Today we'll be mostly in 1 Peter 2 and a little into 3, but let's talk about submission. How many of you are UFC fans, right? Anybody? Yes. Right? You get to see people punching each other and like life's hard. And then you're like, man, I want to punch something, but if I can't, I'll watch them do it. Right? In UFC, MMA, there's things called submissions, actually, choke holds or arm bars. And in UFC, it's the last thing you want to do. Because if you submit in UFC, it means that you've been completely dominated. You'll see people fight being submitted so much that they'll actually let themselves get passed out. And I'm like, dude, just tap, bro. Come on. Like, you see them go, dude, they're out. And I'm like, why didn't you just tap, right? But in UFC, submission means you failed, that you've been dominated, that you've been completely destroyed, and it's embarrassing. And then you watch them as they're getting ready to raise their hand and their heads are hanged low because it is embarrassing. Biblically, that's not submission, right? That's not it. But in my mind and in my culture, being an ex-addict back in the day, 10 so years ago before I came to Jesus, I had a hard time with submission. That was what I thought about, right? You see the popo and you're like, never submit, right? Back in the day in the negative ways, right? That was not the biblical version, and I was in the wrong place. But naturally, in our sinful nature, we have this natural inclination to go, I will never submit to authority. I will not submit to the Lord, to other people. It's not like when you're in war and you just got done with war and you've been destroyed, and so you raise your white flag and you walk off in shame because you've been defeated. The Bible speaks that we are to submit to everyone and to each other. Listen to this in Ephesians 5:21. It says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. You see, Christ for us is our example. He submitted to the will of his Father, not because he had to, but because he wanted to lay his life down so that he could come down and die for our sins. You see Jesus even submitting to wicked rulers like Pilate when they were all getting ready to crucify him and they were shouting out, crucify him. And we'll talk more about this later, but he submitted to authorities. Jesus submitted to the Pharisees at times. And there were times that he called them out and he spoke truth and respect. And we're gonna talk about that. Submission is actually a beautiful thing. And here's some things that it isn't. It doesn't mean you have no boundaries and you just let everyone run over you and hurt you and damage you. It doesn't mean you're giving up all of yourself and your values that we would, for example, we would never deny Jesus. But biblically, you see Jesus living a life of love in hopes to reach people, submitting to people that usually you would think you wouldn't have him submit to. He surprised people because his heart of submission was a heart of love. We're going to talk about those things. A part of submission is humility. So if you're following us in the notes, we're going to start now in 1 Peter 2, verse 15, and we're just going to go section by section how it's actually listed in the Bible as we journey through 1 Peter. So 1 Peter 2, we're first talking about submitting to authority. And you got to remember that some of when Peter was writing these things was under some of the rulership of Nero, who used to burn Christians alive. That's his believer's audience. And he's talking about submitting to authority and having a heart of love for even people to that extent. That's crazy, crazy stuff. Let's listen to this in 1 Peter 2:15. It says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the kings as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable life should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. Man, if I was in the audience of that day, I'd have a hard time with that. So you're saying respect people that hunt down Christians? Is he saying condone it? Absolutely not. But he's saying, man, we need to love these people just like Jesus loved those people. He's the one that prayed over the people who were crucifying him. You remember that? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. You see, his heart was love even for those types of people. And non-believers, look at our hearts and how we conduct ourselves. Are we fully against people who disagree with us, or our hearts to reach them? Does that mean that's easy? Absolutely not. Does that mean we just lay down all our values and boundaries? Absolutely not. But how we conduct ourselves for this heart of love, for the sake of winning people over, is so important. And we see this modeled in our Savior Jesus. In fact, it was people in that kind of sense, because as an addict, I hated Christians, and I was I made it very public, right? Son of a preacher, right? Everyone's like, oh, you're the son of a preacher, and I would just get in their face about it. I would mock Christians anytime I walked away from the church. But through God's people, luckily, he used people that even when I would react in those ways, that they would love me, support me, respect me, and pursue me, not submitting to my views, but conducting themselves with a heart of love. But I've also had the opposite, where I've had believers push me away because they got in my face because of where I was at in different pieces. And that pushed me further. This is a hard conversation as we're talking about authorities that we don't agree with, viewpoints that we don't agree with, but how are we living a life of submission out of a heart of love, out of a reverence for Christ as we conduct ourselves? Hard conversation. Silence in the room, right? All right, let's keep going. Submission as workers, but in the context in the Bible, it says slaves, which would have been more like workers in our day. 1 Peter 2, 18 through 25, as we go further in the text, says, you who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you to, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are being beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Man, I want to back up for just a second. How many of you have been blasted with negative words before? Has anyone ever been blasted with negative words before? Right? It's destructive. It's painful. Maybe this person even knew you enough to deeply wound you, right? It hurts. Or you've been on the other end. Let's just be honest. How many of you have blasted other people with negative words, right? Right? If you're out there, maybe you can agree. We've both done it. Something that just amazes me, and it always really just gets me, is when you think of all the things said to Jesus in the story of him going to the cross, right, at the end, that they bow down and mock worship, King of the Jews, right? He helped others, he can't help himself. Crucify him. A week before, they were saying Hosanna. They put the crown of thorns on his head. I can't fathom going through all those things, and he just stands there silently. It chokes me up every time. It's hard for me right now to even just not get choked up about that. He stood there silently in submission to these authorities who were taking advantage of their power. And he modeled this to us out of love. Right? You see, Pilate says, I have the power over you to kill you. Why won't you speak? How disrespectful to the Son of God. What a statement. If he knew who he was, man. Jesus, in respect, you see him here speaking out a little. He says, actually, you don't have the power over me. You only have the power that was given to you. He did it in respect. But you see this heart of submission to love and maybe even try to redeem Pilate and people in the crowd crying out. You know, for you, maybe you're in environments where there's super disrespectful bosses and disrespectful people around you. And here in 1 Peter, he's saying, man, you need to respect people even when they're not being kind to you, even when they're using the word cruel. That's a heavy word, cruel. You know, one thing that just drives me nuts is when people are cruel. And a part of that is because I used to be cruel. And I saw the effects I had on others that I deeply regret. But a lot of the times, people are cruel because they've been shown cruelty or they have things going on. But here he says, man, be kind. Submit to these people out of a reverence, out of an awe of Jesus submitting to us and to his Father. Submission, humility is at the heart of us believers as we're talking about being forged, being transformed into the image of Christ. A lot of times you go, yeah, I want to be like Jesus, but don't sign me up for that part, right? We want to pick and choose the parts that like, man, I want to grow in grace and love and that's awesome. But what about these conversations? These are not the fun ones. Don't sign me up for submission to cruel people, right? Again, that doesn't mean not having boundaries. That doesn't mean being a doormat. But in love and respect, to model who Jesus is. This is hard. You know, for me, this whole conversation, I was not overly thrilled to speak on this topic, right? I was not overly thrilled. I was not. Because these are hard conversations. And for me, as it says in James, that not everyone should preach because you're judged more strictly. And I do take and feel the weight of those things sometimes. Especially in an area of weaknesses for me, it seems like when I preach on those things, it's like an all-out war the week before I preach. And so if you're like, oh, I'm really struggling with this, I am right there with you. This is not easy. But here's the amazing thing is, as we talked about finding grace when we need it most, there is grace to be had. We're secure in Jesus, but God calls us to be transformed, to be forged, and even in the fire. And I want to sneak this one in because he does mention it, and I think it's important. He says, man, if you're suffering because your own stupidity, that's your own dang fault. Some of us suffer because of our own stupidity, and then we're mad that things are happening in our lives when really we need to come before the Lord and go, all right, God, is there something that you need to show me in this? Right? We do those things. We suffer because our own stupidity at times. And he's going, man, if you're suffering for that, you get nothing, right? You need to grow. You need to repent of those things. But he's going, man, if you're suffering for doing good, not only is that good, but you will be rewarded as you follow in your example, as you follow Jesus. For some of you in here, you've suffered for doing good for a long time, following Jesus. And to you, I just want to say, don't give up. It's really hard following Jesus as the world amps up and it's been crazy. It's so hard following Jesus in your environments and different challenges, and you're trying to do what's right. You're not perfect, right? You still need to grow and be transformed and repent of things just like all of us, but don't lose heart as you follow Jesus, because it's refined and then it's in the fire. No one likes to be in the fire, do they? But God works, and he works good out of it. Keep following your Savior. Now, the main reason why I really didn't want to preach this sermon is the next section we're about to get into. I asked my wife if I could share this. You know, it's talking about submitting to wives and husbands. And I'm, of course, me and my wife fought all week, right? I'm like, oh. And so for me, you know, the enemy comes in and goes, you probably shouldn't preach. You messed this up this week. You fought. You didn't own things, right? That's what he does to all of us. And some of you are like, you could raise your hand, but you might not want to, right, with that? We're broken. And here's the amazing thing is that Jesus calls the broken. And we don't have to be perfect. And then when we mess things up, we have to go own it, you know? Going into this week, and I was like having a conversation with my wife. I asked to share these things, by the way. And we both were owning some pieces. And that's the thing, is we're broken and we make mistakes and we're not going to be perfect. We know the truth and what we should strive for. And the next conversation, you could be here with your spouse. If you're out there, you could be out there. And anytime these things happen, it can be a tool for the enemy to go, see, they're not doing this and they're not doing this. Or you can go, God, yeah, we're both broken and I'm bringing that to the table. And I'm going to own the things that I need to own, because it's a fire as that we're being transformed and purified in. So with that, if you're following us in your notes, we're now in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. And I'm following the sequence. I promise, ladies, I'm not picking on you. It's the wives first. So wives, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. It says this. It says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. All right, ladies, this is a lot to break down in here. I first want to say this. At the very beginning, it talks about submitting to your husband's authority, but right off the bat, it says, then if he's not doing what's right, it might win him over. So let's hear this. Does that mean that we follow in that only when they're doing it right? From the get-go, it says that you might win them over by following them with respect and love when they're even not doing it right. And I'll say this as a husband, there's times I don't do it right this week. as I'm getting ready to preach a stinking sermon on it, right? For her too, there were things that we had to own and talk through, and it's difficult and it's hard. And remember, as we're talking through this section, don't let the unbiblical versions of these words be shaped into the reality of Scripture. This is a hot topic. There's words in here that are buzzwords in our culture. But when it says laying down or respecting and submitting to authority, it's out of love in those things that we do that. That doesn't mean they're always right. That doesn't mean it's always easy. But God calls us to in these things. Another thing that I think is so amazing in there, you know, in our culture, ladies, everything is comparison on social medias, on all these things. The world portrays what you women need to be, how to look, how to dress. And here it's saying, don't be concerned with those things. It's saying God cares more about who you are than how many good meals you cook, what you dress, or what you compare to with the culture and how it shapes things on how you're supposed to be as a wife and as a mother. God's saying, I care more about you than I do about all those other things. He even uses the word, it's precious to him as he looks at his daughters. God cares about you. Now let's talk about the big buzzword, right? Sarah called Abraham her master. Woo, buzzword, right, in our culture. The word master is not a really great word in our culture. I will never call someone that, right? But as you look into the story of Abraham, how many times did that dude jack up things, right? He jacked up things. And I believe that back in there, it's going, she loved him. And out of love and submission to Jesus, she did those things. It's about keeping your eyes on Jesus first, being plugged into him first, and being able to follow Jesus in those things, right? Then it says, how do you reconcile these two, to be the master or the authority? Don't let the old biblical or unbiblical versions of words mess you up when it's talking about. But then it says to follow the Lord, and even if your husband is upset because you're doing what's right. Right? I have an older gal that I'm close to, and her husband is far from the Lord, and he didn't want to tithe, right? But she felt compelled to follow Jesus in those things. And so what she did is all the extra money, because he oversaw the finances, all the money that she got for things, she would tithe on that. And so even though they disagreed biblically on things, because he wasn't a believer, with what she could do, she followed Jesus because she felt compelled to. You see, in our relationships, because I'm speaking to every one of them, we're called to follow the Lord in those things, but out of respect. Ladies, that'll be hard because we always don't know we don't know what we're doing sometimes, right? But the same is on the other side, right? Both of us, we're trying to live through life, to parent, to do these things correctly to the best of our ability. And we're called to have grace as God has grace with us. And the Trinity, actually, we get to reflect those things with our different roles, right? The Father, the Son, the Spirit. Jesus lays his life down. The Father is the one who sends Jesus. We get to model that in our marriages as we become one. There's a reason why our marriages are so under attack. How do we submit to one another? All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the husbands. Husbands, it's your turn, right? 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Again, let's not get sucked into the buzzword of our culture. Men, who's the one who has babies, right? When it says weaker, right? Yeah. We are called to be the spiritual leaders of our home, and that is a massive responsibility. And we have different roles with different strengths. And our culture has come in to completely distort these and fuel this conversation way up. And it's affecting things. You know, it says in other places that men, we're supposed to lay our lives down for our wives as Christ laid his life down for the church. What did Jesus do for the church? For the people. He let them crucify him. In our marriages on both sides, there are times where we will take shots and absorb them for the sake of our spouses, because that is what God, men, that is what God has called us to do. When it's right or not, and what they're saying is right or not, we're to lay our lives down like Christ has laid his life down for the church. It is a huge responsibility that God has given to us. And sometimes we jack it up, right, men? Right? But on the other end, women, sometimes you jack it up. We all do. You know, this is one of the only verses that it really hits, that it talks about prayers being hindered. What does that say, men? God cares about his daughters. Being the father of a daughter, God cares. You mess with my daughter, you mess with me, right? Men, we are to lay our lives down for the church, or for our wives. With that, in a couple minutes, the ushers are gonna come forward and we're gonna get ready to transition as I hit one more thing. If you're following along, we're now in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. And now it's talking to all Christians. Every one of us in every role and every specific point of this. Listen to this in 1 Peter 3:8. It says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do and will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongues from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. You see, for us, God has called us to be tender-hearted, to be forgiving, to be merciful, to submit to one another, to our wives, to authority, to him, and to each other. There's hardness in hearts as we have a sinful nature that ramp up the opposite. And in the fire, we get to go, God, I'm broken, but I do these things because you have done these things to me. God stood there silently. He laid his life down when we were his enemies, to save and redeem us. And so the ushers are coming forward, and as they start passing out communion, I have a couple questions for you to reflect on as I close. What is standing out to you? Is there something that you need to do, a prayer that you need to pray? Maybe as I'm journeying through this, you're going, man, I have some brokenness in my life and I don't know what to do with that. Bring that to the feet of Jesus to find grace when you need it most. Come boldly before him. Two, I wanna ask you, if you look at your life, have you been walking a life of submission in every platform? And if you haven't, what area do you need to take a step in? Do you need to have a conversation? Do you need to repent something or bring something into the light? Three, have you seen God's submission and him laying his life down and his love for you? Because that's the place to start. That's where we find our power to be able to do the same. It's in him. And lastly, if you're in this room or you're watching us online, this is the most important. If you do not know Jesus, you need to know him. He's your redeemer, your savior. It says he's knocking at the door, waiting for you to let him in. And you cannot do it without him. And so with that, we're going to spend some time just coming before our King, just you and him, preparing your heart to remember the blood that was spilled and the body given. Let's do that now.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.